What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Cool Aunties, where we, the millennial cool aunties who probably have BPD, give out unsolicited advice that no one asks for, because quite frankly, we don't really trust none of y'all motherfuckers giving all this advice online. Y'all are terrifying. So I'm Ink, aka Ink Very Well, because I don't just ink well, I ink very well, and I got my gross.
Big purr.
What's up? I'm writer producer Palmyra,
and I'm writer producer Marie. Hey,
yeah, and we are the Cool Aunties. Period.
Cool Aunties.
Yeah. Right? Hell yeah. I'm into it.
I was thinking Moesha. You know what I mean? Like that's what I. Okay. Anyway, we can work on it.
I was it's thinking Tyena because I was like.
You know what? Tease. I think I was thinking tight.
You know we got BPD, so we right. Gonna fight.
No one's gonna stop me. You.
No
see?
One can. No one can stop you.
It's impossible.
Exactly. Welcome to our fucking show. you guys know what I saw on TikTok the other day, on the socials the other day. Have you seen that video of that? She was a white lady who, the caption was like, my husband's, you know, leaving for work for a few weeks. And like, and she like totally like security systems her whole entire fucking house. Like she locks all the doors. She locks all the windows. She like puts fucking double locks on doors and she sets up this and sets up that. And like,
yeah,
like all of that fire hazard as fuck. Like if a fire broke out in her house, she would never be able to get the fuck out. Yeah, just like kind of like shutting herself in because her husband is not around, I guess, to protect her. I guess that's what it was. And everyone was just like, damn, you true crime girlies are just like taking it too far. Did you guys see that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I saw that because I was reading the comments on that video and they were like, what is with white women's obsession about possibly being a true crime victim? Like, what is that?
Right.
And I think that might be directly linked to white people who want to have like some kind of proximity to being more marginalized than they are. Like as a white woman, you are a part of a more marginalized group than white men, but also you're a white person. So like to further marginalize yourself, you are like, now I'm a part of this specific group of people that might get true crimed. But it's like, babe.
Right.
Yeah.
Or there was this point in time where white women were making scrapbooks of their DNA, like of their hair, the passwords to their phone in case shit needs to be, you know, broken into.
What?
Details, their, you know, birth certificate, this, that, and the third, just in case they're found. Yeah, there was like, yeah, these scrapbooks, big ass fucking scrapbooks. And it's the same bitches that got like Jeffrey Dahmer tattooed on them, mind you.
Oh.
And then they cross the street whenever a black man is fucking walking right next to them. Mind
Hello.
You. And it's like, I want to know. Like, what are you scared of? What do you, because it makes me think of the time where human trafficking was considered white slavery. Do you remember that? It was like in the early 2000s.
Whoa.
You never heard of that?
I have zero that recollection of that. Let me hack it was, into the main they
were,
brain.
Folks were... The mainframe being Google. Yes. Yeah. Yes, white women.
Oh my goodness,
white people were calling human trafficking white slavery at some point in time when we are all victims to fucking human trafficking.
It's a real thing. I'm not saying that you thought that it was that you were saying that it wasn't, but no, oh, yeah, like no.
Yeah. She doing it for you, motherfuckers who don't believe me.
And also, yes. Look at how easy it is for y'all to Google some shit.
Okay, I've been thinking about this a lot recently, and I'm like. The fears that white people have that they think that like black and brown people are going to do to them are just what white people do to black and brown people in actuality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they get scared. Mm-hmm. But I mean, okay, so here's the thing. I'm not going to say that white women's fears are unfounded then because they see what their men do and have done to other people and even do to each other.
Right.
And to them, and to them. Like, right. Wait, they, I mean, all of the true crime, like, it's so weird that, like, white women want to consume media where they are the victim. But I guess that just feeds into the victim mentality, right? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, there's more proof. Like, I should be scared. Ah, fear propaganda is wild and profitable.
And they right, when they and we are all, we all know like, that, the like, biggest perpetrators.
Right. At that, and everybody knows that, like, most of the time, like, the violence that women receive, most of the time, is by somebody they know.
Intimate partner right. violence.
Is, you know what I'm saying? Like, bitch, the person that's gonna fucking kill you is your man. That's who's gonna kill
is
you.
Is the man you trying to you know lock out with 52,000 locks. Sidebar, you are putting up all these locks now that he's gone.
Okay. Like, why is he?
Because
why
I
is
him
like,
out.
I, you know what? I'd be so pissed if I came home from my long ass business trip and then there's like 700 locks on the door and then my wife like won't open it. Like, how am I supposed to get yeah. to my fucking house?
Like, could you imagine so if you were like, oh shit, I forgot my wallet on the counter. Let me run back in real quick. And she'd already put up 900 bruh, locks.
She's already.
She's like
in
sorry,
the shower. She jumped in the shower the real quick.
I'm in the bunker. It doesn't open I'm for 24 hours.
In the bunker for real. In the bunker for real.
Like,
in the bunker
for real. It's timed to open when he gets back, so she yeah. can even get out herself.
Yeah. But yeah, I want to go back to something you said. You were talking about how like they're perpetrators of most of the violence that goes on, but they're violent themselves. I think mm-hmm. about you know the Jeffrey Dahmer, the Ted Bundys, the John Wayne Gacys, like those like. There's a fucking new series every 15 days, every 15 business days, right? Mm-hmm. Or there's these accounts on TikTok that AI-ify murderers or victims of murderers, and like they tell their story, which is really eerie. And it's like, oh, like I know creepy. Like people think it's like super, yeah, people think it's like super cool, but it's actually very eerie. And by the way, when there are black serial killers, there's a black scent going on that I don't fucking appreciate, but anyway.
I've noticed that.
I'm not surprised AI is racist because
why the fuck does AI even racist? AI have right? AI even has a fucking black scent. I fucking hate
like,
you, motherfuckers.
Why does the AI voice that's going over black serial killers sound like the lady from the Popeyes commercial? Help me,
bro. Yo, plot twist, the ladies from the Popeyes commercial is the serial killer behind everything. That's what she's AI like, is trying sick. To tell us. It's like,
I'm sick. Yes.
AI
yes,
is like, I'm solve sick. The case, people. Like, we're not racist. We're giving you a clue.
Yes. Yes. I think of like, just like, you know, everybody, all these bitches, like, everybody's always hating on a horror movie, right? Like, oh, it's not real enough, isn't this, is that? Or, you know what I mean? But, like, really amplifying, like, true crime stories that really did happen to real people, lest we forget. And now there's 8 seasons of fucking, of this person's murderer and snapped and this and that. Well, fascinating. It is fascinating. Not gonna bullshit. But
on the low,
the obsession over it is just like a little bit much. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Why is it like, why does this keep happening? You know what I mean? Like, why is this such a, is a, because when I think of true crime, I'm thinking of like documentary news. And now it's like ingrained in pop culture. Like now it's entertainment. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was, yeah, I thought true crime's weird. Purpose was to, you know what I mean? Like I thought true crime's purpose was to, I guess, notify the public of like shit that's going on, like protect your kids, bitch, or understand domestic violence or understand intimate partner violence, right? And now it's like fear, white bitches use it to fear monger white women. Use it to fearmonger themselves. And you're like, you said, I don't hear a difference on what you said. And they use it to like scare. Fred, you repeated yourself. I don't get it. they use it to like scare the fuck out of themselves.
Yeah.
And like Jay, we were talking about the Selena. Well, it's not that a documentary on Selena. It's a
yo.
It's not a documentary on Selena. It's a fucking documentary on the stupid bitch who killed Selena by Oxygen.
our advice to you, Oxygen, actually, if we could get into auntie mode real quick, cancel that shit. Cancel that shit.
If that,
bring back the Bad Girls immediately. Club and cancel that shit. Okay. Hella,
that is, but it's also hella harmful. That's the thing about Yolanda's interview, documentary, whatever the fuck this is about to be. That's the thing that makes me like very sad about it, is it's harmful as fuck. How do you justify us ever needing to hear anything that she has to say when she killed, like Aaliyah dying was tragic, but Selena being murdered was something of tremendous violence. It's not connected to gang violence or a brewing beef between two rappers like Biggie and Tupac was. This isn't connected to some conspiracy with the LAPD or Oakland PD or Chicago PD. This is something that feels very sinister and horrific, and had the nerve and audacity to drop a movie about it 2 years later. When the wound is still so fresh, to the point that the movie feels so fresh. I'm talking about it right now. I'm getting chills. The movie feels so fresh that there's never a time that I watch that movie and don't cry. And I'm talking about like painfully, not just like dropping a few tears. It is. I might have seen Selena's that movie maybe five times in my life. And I think maybe three of those times is in its entirety. Two of those times I remember being like, I can't do it. It is so physically painful to watch that movie because of how awful Selena was killed. Like, and then they got the nerve and audacity to be dropping clips from the fucking CCTV. When she runs into the lobby to get help, like that footage exists somewhere. And I'm just like, why? I will never forgive Oxygen. I hope the whole company goes down in flames. I hope everybody gets fired and they work at Hobby Lobby.
I didn't even know Oxygen was still around. I gotta be honest. Ever since they took the Bad Girls Club off, I'm like, oh, I guess Oxygen doesn't fucking exist anymore. And now they're coming back. Fucking, it reminds me of when that nail polish had the N-word black. What and everybody was enraged, and it was like enragement marketing. That's what that shit, this shit reminds me of.
That's exactly what it is.
We care now. We care about things now. Oxygen. Right.
They missed it. It should have come out 2 years ago.
Oh, girl. And
five.
It should have.
Five years
ago. It should have came. It should have came out never. It should have came out never.
That part. Yolanda feels like she's evil. Like, just hearing about her, I get there's a disturbance in the force when you talk about her. And, like, she seeing her image, like, no.
I don't want to hear her side. What?
The fuck? Like, also, that's the thing. Sorry, you go ahead.
No, go ahead, friend. Go ahead.
Just, her being like, I'm going to say my side of the story. There's more to this story. I'm like, you're going to talk shit about Selena actively. You're going to try to paint her as something bad. You're going to try to paint her as somebody who deserved to be fucking murdered in broad daylight.
You're going to justify
that. That's what you're going
to
do.
You're about to justify murdering one of the biggest artists of her time. You're going to justify that.
Yeah.
You got hours. You got time. You've been in prison this long and you got time to justify why you killed that girl? How?
Yeah.
How? How?
No one wants to hear it. No one wants to fucking hear it.
I can't wrap my head around that even a little bit. I just watched a documentary of a couple months ago called Something Sally about the bodybuilder. The competitive bodybuilder.
Yes,
it
Killer
was
Sally.
Such a good Killer Sally. Thank you, because I was going to hack into the mainframe.
I loved it.
It was such a good documentary. But even in the time that it was filmed, when I think this is before she came home, like there is reflection in her conversation. She is able to reflect, but you can still hear very much where her childhood and the impact of past relationships impacted her choices. And you can also hear how she's had enough time to observe that, like, no, this wasn't a one-sided thing where I just hauled off and shot him. We been had beef. From 4 days into our marriage, when he broke my nose in front of my children and it sounded like a pop and the kids turned, like, and I'm covered in blood. Like, we've had beef for years. That is an interview that is worth documenting, because there is reflection, there's accountability, there's also perspective. Right. She didn't paint him out to be a monster, and this is someone who brutalized her in front of her kids, but it's enough balance in the conversation that you can see that this was a very domestically violent relationship. She was, violated in past relationships. It doesn't justify anything that those men did to her, but it makes sense. It adds context to her reactions to other stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's in the little clips from Yolanda's that she's saying, I'm not saying we're going to get the whole, understanding of what she has to say in just clips. I'm not hearing accountability, perspective, justification, or context. And also with the amount of time, the window of time that she had access to Selena, how do you justify doing that to her?
Right.
She's spending the whole time saying, honest, I was obsessed and maniacal, I can't see the purpose in this.
Right. And even then maybe she shouldn't be released. You know what I'm saying? Maybe she still has rehabilitation to do. Because I gotta be honest, even if Selena called her a big, fat, stupid ass bitch, I'm glad she did. You know what I'm saying? I really don't care what she did. I don't see Selena doing anything.
Let me shut up.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? I don't. Obviously, we don't know people. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not buying it. I'm not buying, she made me feel some type of way. And I did. And I responded with, no, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. There's nothing Yolanda Salad Bar could ever fucking say.
Salad Bar.
that'll ever make me feel bad for her. I know you're not supposed to judge. I know you're not supposed to judge. You know what I'm saying? I know you're not supposed to judge people.
But judging a murderer? A murderer, Palmyra. I just have to.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Justifies murder. Yeah. Murder. Yeah. And then also murdering. Yeah. Murdering fucking Selena, a sweetheart.
Yeah.
World class sweetie pie who never did any harm to nobody, according to everyone who's ever actually fucking known her.
Right.
What?
Right. And to segue a little bit, Jay, you were talking about that doc, right? The Killer Sally, right? Is what you said. That's what it's called. And how she had some self-reflection and explained. It was more of an explanation, not a justification for what she did. It kind of bleeds into our main topic today. As many of you know and have heard, Miss J. I know my letters. G. Rose Blanchard. Her name is a slur for Romani people, so we trying to be better and not use this lady's name, but we're gonna call her Rose. You know who I'm talking about. Homegirl was recently. It's been not even a month by the time we recorded this, that she's been out, and she's had documentaries, TV shows, a Lifetime movie. Joey King played her in The Act, right? With Patricia Arquette playing the mom. It actually was very good. And then she ended up getting a Blanchard. This is Blanchard. Can we do the journalist way and use her last name? Is that good for everybody?
Oh yeah,
that works. Okay. Love that.
just to avoid it altogether. So Blanchard gets this 9-episode documentary, which really is the retelling of everything, and she gets to contextualize herself. And after some thought, doesn't justify what she did, because she still does not fuck with what she did or does what she tells people. But she, explains that, I was being fucking tortured. I was being isolated. I was trapped. And it was either me or my mom. And it had to be my mom. And very remorseful still. And then and going back to that Killer Sally documentary, that's what it reminded me of just I'm contextualizing my mistakes. Right. I'm contextualizing what I did. What I did was very wrong. But I was so pinned up into a corner that I had no other choice. right? Yeah. And I'm not sure it's the purpose of like sympathizing or empathizing, but it just more of like understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it felt like. And that's what I feel like if you're going to do a documentary on someone who has committed a murder or been participated in the murder of someone, there has to be that balance. Yeah. Of accountability or otherwise. Yeah. Now, the listeners may not know, but I know my peoples know. So I work with the formerly incarcerated, and most of my participants have gone to prison for murder or former lifers. And there's, especially because if you come home from a life sentence, you have to go to the parole board. And a part of the going to the parole board is having that context of your actions, that accountability, that perspective, that balance, the same balance as in those interviews you have to have in order to be able to go to parole board after participating in a murder, whether committing it or just being present. Like, you have to have that perspective. And so that creates these folks coming home and reentering society that are very accountable, that are very self-aware, that are very like very mindful of who they hang out with, where they are, very accountable for their actions, very present people who've had to participate in a bunch of groups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I say all of that to say, like, because I'm pretty sure this is where we're segueing, right? When I think of G. Rose, when I think of our girl, Miss Blanchard, I realize that she's not coming home from a life sentence. I'm aware that she didn't have to go to board. I'm aware that she was given a sentence that had an end date, a release date. Everybody knew when she was coming home by the time she was sentenced. And so having those like definitive dates makes it so a lot of work may not be happening.
Real quick, before you continue, for those who don't know, Blanchard in the late 2010s was a victim of Munchausen by proxy and inflicted by her mother. What's that bitch's name? What was that bitch's name?
I think Terrible Mother Blanchard. Oh, let me
Terrible have Mother Blanchard. Dee Dee Blanchard. Claudine, right. So Dee Dee, forced her daughter to eat through a tube in her fucking stomach, lied about that bitch's age, so she didn't know how old she was. Did magic on her.
Cursed her.
Not only she attacked her physically, mentally, fucking financially, sexually probably, and even spiritually fucked with her for years, for her whole entire life. And so Blanchard took it upon herself. She was kind of just at her wit's end. Watch the documentaries. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know how I would feel personally, but she ended up having like this relationship online, and then she asked her boyfriend, who just so happened to be someone with a fucking record already, and he was looking to hurt people already. Mm-hmm. She ended up like convincing him, which did not take a lot of fucking convincing because this motherfucker was just trying to kill somebody anyway, to kill her mother. And he did. And so he's in prison for the rest of his life. And she got 8 to 10, right?
Yeah.
Is what it was, something like that. So kind of catch up everybody on the situation. But Jay, you don't see Blanchard being rehabilitated properly.
No, because I think that what Blanchard is going through is deeper than just the act of getting rid of her mom. Like, my theory is for every year of trauma that you go through, you need at least 6 months of intense, 6 months to a year of intense therapy to work it out. How long did we live with our parents? Yeah, we need at least 6 months to a year for every year that we were with the people that traumatized us, like, period.
Yo.
You know what I mean? Especially if you had as much, like, I know some people experience times where their parents were terrible, like, maybe twice a month. My father was terrible. There were years where my father was terrible the entire summer, every day of the summer, where he was violent every single 7 straight days for 4 straight weeks for 3 straight months. And then it would be 2 to 3 times a week on the other months because we'd be at school, try to stay out of the house as long as possible, whatever, whatever. But during the summer when we're home, he's terrible every day. And so for every year that you go through something with anything, whether it's a toxic relationship, childbirth, which is traumatic, anything like that, I think you need, if it's, and when I say intense therapy, I mean seeing a therapist once a week, at least 6 months to a year for every year of trauma that you've been through, right? Munchausen's by proxy is like nightmarish if we think of trauma.
Right.
Already as a child, you do not have autonomy. Children are some of the least privileged people on the planet. They are currently bombing a place where more children exist by percentage than any other place in the world. And they are bombing children because they just can, right? So children already do not have autonomy.
Specifically, we are talking about Palestine, Free Palestine.
Free Palestine from Rivers to Sea, period.
Go ahead, friend.
So Blanchard, having gone through several, like two decades, almost 3 decades of trauma from her mother, we're just talking about the medical trauma. We haven't even talked about the physical trauma, the verbal trauma, financial trauma, possible sexual trauma. We're not even talking about the other ones. We're just talking about one. And parading this child, now adult, but parading her child around as this deeply ill child, then you have the trauma of how folks see you. So now there's dysmorphia there. Who am I, right? First of all, 8 to 10 years in prison. Prison in itself is not rehabilitative. It's just not. Most of the prison programs that are created by prison who are either going to be there forever or people who want something different and they're really like deeply advocating for it, whether they're inside or coming in, right? But the states, the state who are getting funded to
her, I don't see her having that range to do that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And of no fault of her own. Like,
And it's like when we you know? It's like us talking about facts. We're just talking about facts, right? What access did she have to the possibility of conducting therapeutic groups? None. You know what I mean? Right. That's not something that she had the background in.
Just the chola she hung out with in that motherfucker.
Period. And on top, she's coming into a space where these are women who were taken away from their kids. Their kids were taken away from them. They themselves had shitty relationships with their own parents, mostly their moms. Like, this demographic that she had been exposed to coming from one violent household and experience into prison, which is already violent, like, I can imagine that she was almost widely accepted a little bit more because not just because of the crime that she was, you know, participated in, but because of, I know what it's like to have a terrible mom. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I can see on you or in you that you ain't got it. You know what I mean? So let's make sure you good. You about to go home. Like, because there are a lot of situations where women, when they know that you have a date, they'll try to fuck off your date. Oh, you going home in 6 months? Mm-hmm. Let me drop a kite and fuck up your situation to where now you get an extra year or 5 years at it. Let me fuck up you going to board. Like, that happens. It happens in a lot of prisons where people, they know you have a date coming up. And so they'll tell you, they'll do something to fuck it off because of their own jealousy of not coming home, right? I remember when I went to jail, I only went to jail. I didn't even go to prison. But when I went to jail and one woman found out that I was coming home, like I had a date that I was going to be released, she said, don't tell nobody shit. She said, don't tell anybody anything. Don't let anybody know that you're coming home. Because if they know you're going to come home, they're going to try to fuck it off. Don't say anything. So I just didn't tell anybody I was going home. And anytime they ever asked me, I would just say, I don't know. And I would just play dumb, like, you know what I mean? Or I wouldn't say anything to anybody. So all this to say, G Rose, you know, baby G, she's just not in that space in my mind for where rehabilitation is actually really happening. You know what I mean? It didn't happen in prison. And unless she came home to therapeutic services, what's happening?
Right. Right. Well, to your point about your release date, everybody knew when the fuck this bitch was coming out. Right. Like, she became a celebrity when she came out. So, absolutely not. She's not going through.
Her on Instagram,
I also follow her on Instagram because I had to see the mess.
I just... sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, friend.
No, I was just going to say, I her Lifetime Diaries that she was like, hey guys, I got this documentary coming out. Like, I started watching that. But I will say she is very aware that she needs therapy, like, yes, in the documentary. Yes. And she's like, prison does not do enough. Like, they don't have this. She's like, they don't have the services here. They don't have the right, like, shit for me here. So I really do hope that, like, she is using the money and the resources she has now from being a celebrity to get the help she needs. Because right. She fucking, like, she fucking needs it.
I remember Jay, now, I would say the most auntiest out of all of us is Jay, as in she is just the smartest out of all of us. And I am constantly reminded of that because then I think of, like, having my own opinion, and I'm like, and then Jay's like, you might be wrong, friend. And I'm like, I don't think so. And then something happens and I'm like, I might be wrong. Jay might have been right.
Which is Palmyra for Jay was right and Jay I was wrong.
And I was wrong.
Yeah.
Listen here, little sister. I say that to say, I was like, you know, Jay had mentioned, like, oh, I'm scared for Blanchard. I'm worried about this bitch, because, you know, because of the lack of rehabilitation that's you were touching on. And yeah. I was just like, she in her 30s, she'd be fine. She's not a child. Because I guess I was just thinking of, like, just like how children specifically are marginalized, and she grew up out of that marginalization legally, right? And you were talking about emotionally, she's right. not. And there is no safe space for people who are still emotionally children, as every autistic motherfucker in this room knows. hey, girl. So I was, as Blanchard's tour, her welcome home tour continued on, I started seeing things that I'm like, oh, that's what Jocelyn meant. That's what Ink meant. Mm-hmm. Because, she is doing well in the sense that, like, she's probably getting paid for appearances and interviews and shit like that, which I hope. But not well in the sense that, like, she need to be at home. You know what I'm saying? She need mm-hmm. to be at home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I know she's married. Nobody asked for this, right? But I don't think she should have gotten married, to be honest. I think that getting married was not therapy should have been first and then marriage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
for everyone,
first of all, for everybody. But I think, I just think about him on her husband on the outside, like being somebody who could take advantage of her.
I agree. Sorry, I froze for a second. I fully agree because and sometimes marriage for people who had traumatic childhoods can be an extension of, like, the codependency. Because codependency mm-hmm. is one of those things that's so, like, we know the word as a word, but if we were to think of codependency as a substance, codependency is honey. You know, codependency is sticky.
Wow.
And it, like, it is something that, like, it when you anything it touches, it leaves remnants. It can crystallize.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I find folks who are codependent to not realize how their codependency can stick onto other things. People can be codependent on their jobs, and I'm speaking from experience. Like, people can be codependent on relationships. Wow. People can be codependent on codependency. Like, it can be in this. This specific situation, it sounds like that to me. It is, she is not a codependent person as much as, I'm sorry, she is not only a codependent person, she's a codependent person who was codependent on codependency. Because the entire foundation of her being, the most foundational years of your life are before the age of 7. She was paraded around as a severely disabled and ill person by her mother, the person who was supposed to keep her safe and protected and was supposed to care for her And this person told her and the world, she's not well enough to do anything by herself. I will always have to take care of her, and she's going to die soon. So in her little brain, before the age of 7, she don't even think she's going to be here past 12, 16, 22.
Right.
So now she's at 30. There was a part in her.
Nothing to look forward to.
There was a time in her life, I guarantee you, there was at least one day in her childhood before the age of 7 where she said, I don't even have to think about 30 because I'll never get there. At 12, yeah. I'm not tripping about being 30. I'm never going to be there. And then there's this, let me do all I can because I'm going to die soon kind of thing. Only to find out none of it's true. So there's its own like thing, right? So there's no concept of, oh, this is who I'm going to be when I grow up. She doesn't even think she's going to grow up. Right. So when I think of marriage, especially people who have had like really traumatic childhoods, most people had traumatic childhoods. That's why so many people find marriage to be the foundation of a good relationship. Oh, that man ain't marry right. you. That man ain't marry you. Oh, y'all been together so long. You're not married yet. It's like your entire confirmation that a relationship is good and healthy is marriage, as though we don't have millions of examples of that not being true. Right. And so my concern very much for Gypsy Rose is what we're leading up to, and like the memification of G Rose. Like we are entering a time where, I'm not even gonna say entering, we are re-entering a time of memifying people or creating celebrities out of people who, there's no PR training. You think G Rose over there has an A&R person or a PR person who's like, this is what you say in interviews. Here's how you say
it. To be fair, she media is the training. A&R person.
Exactly.
To be fair, she is media trained.
Because that's what her brand is not based on. Don't you do it. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. I'm so sorry,
that's
y'all.
That's our just fourth co-host, Bagheera Beard.
Don't do it.
He's in the green room.
I saw him in the camera and he was going to hop right there. He was going to jump on that counter right there like he hangs out with white people when I'm not around. And I had to stop.
You said, and don't you do it.
He is so mischievous. But you're right. She has been very much PR trained, right? Because that was her entire existence with her mom. This is what you say in interviews about this, about this, about this. And what we know to be true about people who have like already prepared answers or their life is perfectly manufactured. Is that a life? Like, is that a foundation like that's secure? And it's not. And so I just find us to be putting someone who has a lot of like healing, and a lot of people need healing, but like she needs a lot of healing and she deserves that space. And for, if at all, if her income is based on her being memeified or being a celebrity or fawned over or an extension of infantilization, there's no hope for her to like become a real person.
Right. Friend, Marie, you got something before I go in?
I was just going to say, first of all, Jay is so fucking smart. Like that honey thing. I'm sorry. I'm still tripping on like codependencies like honey. I'm like, like I blew my fucking mind.
Because we've all done our reading on codependency here.
Right. So, codependent no more. Great book. Everybody read it.
Period.
But also the 6 months for every 6 months of intensive therapy for every year of trauma. And I was literally, I'm celebrating 10 years of rehabilitation from my fucked up family. And I finally don't want to die anymore. That shit took 10 years because 18 years of my life was bullshit. So ink's right. I just have to say, ink is the truth. Ink is the way.
Period.
Like
she is the ultimate auntie. She is boss
all
level.
Of the knowledge.
She's auntie boss. She auntie boss. Okay.
Thank you. How many years? I think I've done like 7, almost 8 years of therapy now. Maybe 7 years of therapy now. And
congrats. Same,
like where you finally have it. Thank you so much. Where you have that thought where you're like, I don't want to die anymore. That's a real thing that finally happens. Right. I was having a conversation with someone where we were talking about sobriety. And because y'all know this, I work in the field. I work with the humans. I deal with the humans. And I was working with someone who mentioned that they were having suicidal thoughts. And I'm more so just like having the conversation. And sidebar, this is not HIPAA protected. This is not a therapeutic session. It was just a conversation. And so they were saying they were having suicidal thoughts. I'm like, oh, okay. Has anything like changed in your life? And they're like, oh, I recently became sober. Like I just decided that I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to participate in these substances. And I'm like, oh, and for this person, it was mind blowing, but I was like, that's a super normal bodily response to no longer using substances. It's because the addiction made your body feel a way.
That's a
and
symptom.
Now that you're not doing the, it's a symptom. So your symptom. Brain is like, your brain and your body's like, I don't want to be here anymore because, and it doesn't justify it. It's just saying, like, I don't want to be here anymore. And because it's not high, because it's not drunk, because it's not even taking in any of those little substances, but eventually it starts to fade off. Right. And so the same way that with like, navigating sobriety, navigating becoming sober from codependency, because it's a chemical thing. You might have feelings of not wanting to be here anymore. Dude. Because you're like, no, now that I'm not stuck to this thing, what do I live for?
Yes, because Jocelyn, to your point, when I was with an ex, I compare our relationship to alcohol. I'm not, and alcohol is not my vice, but it's my parents' vices. Mm-mm. So I am third generation, like my grandparents were also alcoholics. My parents struggle with alcohol. So it's in my blood. And so I had to make myself laugh to, you know, not be sad about it. But but I say that to say that like, so the need, so our relationship was codependent and it was trauma bonded, but like the real trauma bonded, like exactly what it means. Like, you know, we went through a cycle of like really good, really good, really, it was a very short lived, really good. And then it was terrible. And then we couldn't live without each other. And then we went to back into like the good shit and then terrible shit. And then it was really mostly me being alone, left with the pieces. Right. And I was just fucked up about it. And when we were going no contact, where we both decided that, like, we are poisoning each other. And that's why I have a hard time calling him an abuser, because it was just, it really was, like, a lot of my shit was reactionary to his shit. But we were poison for each other. Like, it was, I was not getting help at that time. I was not well at that time either. And so when we were going no contact, the withdrawals of that relationship kicked in. That I, like, it felt like I needed a hit. I needed alcohol. I needed that liquor. Like, he was alcohol to me. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, this is what trauma bonding is. This is the feeling that it creates. It's just like this euphoric state when shit is good. And then like a fucking horror, like the worst crash imaginable.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like that, like, you know, codependency is like honey and trauma bonding is alcohol. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, it's like, even if it's just a person. And we just smoked weed together. We never did drugs like that together. We, like, there was no, Bonnie and Clyde shit going on. None of that. None of that. It was not dramatic. It really was not dramatic in any way except emotionally fucked up between the both of us. And and it still like pulled me here, pulled me there. It was like I had an alcohol problem when alcohol's never even been my vice. It's fucked up. Emotions are crazy. Like, they can make you feel crazy.
Yeah. Because the whole point of us being raised by the people who gave us life, they were supposed to teach us emotional regulation. They were supposed to teach us what to do when we get upset. And to think of our parents having the ability to teach us emotional, it's laughable.
Right
I'm because literally they laughing had no concept. Like,
it's like those jokers, like, there's no fucking way. And so to have to learn emotional regulation is to navigate those just complicated emotions of codependency, because the thing that we're trying to justify is peace in solitude. And not even like we can't enjoy our own solitude, right? Because that's not the issue.
Right.
As much as it's finding peace at a moment where the person we're codependent on is not happy. Even if they're not happy with us,
or
they're not happy with themselves, or not present. Like, when they're not present, we might even have a date. Like, oh, we're going to see them in a couple of days, or they're going to come by later on tonight, blah, 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 whatever. But it's like, how do I navigate the discomfort of this discomfort? Like, this is uncomfortable. How am I supposed to navigate that? How do I regulate that? And so, you know, when I think of like the memification of G Rose, I just am feeling like top tier codependent behavior, not created by herself. She didn't do this to herself. It was done to her. Almost the worst kind of codependency is when it's forced on you and you don't even realize it's happening. Someone tells you this is what you are, so you just do it, right? And then to be coming home to marriage. And the only examples of communication that G Rose has is her mom. That's the only example. Just how we laughed at our parents.
And then Predators Online.
And Predators Online. So imagine, like, the way that we laughed at our parents being the ones that are supposed to teach us emotional regulation, the person that was supposed to teach G Rose healthy relationships. Absolutely fucking not. Like, it's not possible.
Right. No.
And she was, the tools and the skills and just weren't there.
And was also a predator. Because Blanchard's father was underage when they got together.
Oh, yeah. And she lied to him about her age. I forgot about that.
To the mainframe. See,
we always knew that bitch was a predator, obviously. She going to the database now.
Because y'all got to be more comfortable with Google.
Rot in hell.
Yeah, fuck you, Didi. Fuck you, Didi.
You horrible fucking bitch. Like,
you and Yolanda can go fuck each other, you fucking bitches.
Jesus
Christ. And Saldivar. We weren't talking about Saldivar.
Oh, my God. He was 17.
He was 17.
Yeah.
Cause and she was like 27.
She said she was 22. And they decided to get married. He said, I woke up on my 18th birthday and realized I wasn't where I was supposed to be. I wasn't in love with her. I knew I got married for the wrong reasons. Holy moly.
And guess what? And he still, I don't know. The documentary was weird. It seems like.
Why do you think so?
I don't know. It's complicated, right? Because I'm just kind of like, that's her fucking dad. He should have done something. And like, he says that in the documentary a bunch of times. He's like, I wish I should have done. Like, I wish I had known. So like.
Even the stepmom, it's nothing. Too.
Yeah. Everybody was literally like, I wish I had fucking known. Like, I wish I could have done something. Mm-hmm. Okay, so never mind. Yeah, but like, I mean, all that I was going to say is he was unhappy with his life and he still was involved, as involved as Didi would let him be, and still cared about her and still cares about his daughter. And like, that's good. That's all I have to say is props to you for like, you were abused as a child. You might not think of it that way, but you were 17 years old and an older woman preyed on you and then tried to force you into a relationship and to be a father before you were ready. And, you know what? Props to him. Okay. Props to him and his,
and the stepmom.
His wife. Yeah. Yo.
Go ahead.
Sorry. My favorite part of the documentary is when the interviewer asks Rose's stepmom, did you know that Rose tried to, Rose shot her mom with a BB gun 10 times? And the stepmom says, no, I didn't, but good for her.
Well, y'all know I don't, you know, we don't fuck with fat phobia here, but fuck that fat fucking bitch. Didi, fuck you, you fat fucking bitch. Fat fucking ugly, like, ass, nasty ass bitch.
Go directly to hell. Please go to hell.
Fuck you.
She is the devil.
Bro, okay. Like, it all hit me. Like, damn, she did this, that to her daughter. But I don't know how to explain it. It's not like, oh, what really fucked me up? Because they all fucked me up. Because it was all perverse and disgusting. Right. And I feel bad for Rose, for real. For real. And she gave you a fucking slur as your name. But it was the spirit. She spiritually violated her. That to me is, I don't know how to explain it. I know it may sound stupid to some people, but that to me, that's more unforgivable than anything the fuck else. That's the most unforgivable. That's number one to me. You spiritually violated your child. It was that serious, bitch.
Yeah.
So I'm glad she's
dead. That's why she working in concession stands in purgatory. She didn't even go to hell. Hell was like, we good. Keep her at the bus stop. We're at
capacity, actually. You're too actually, fucking cold-hearted.
I'm sorry. So. Satan's not home right now. He told us we can't let anybody in the house until he comes back.
He is disgusted with you. He is disgusted. He is disgusted with you. He's like, I'm not even that evil. Fuck. I was going to give advice to true crime girlies who are scared of everything. Please. Learn how to fight, what? Bitch. I don't know. Why are you so fucking scared? Why are you so fucking scared? And then, like, all the men in these true crimes are weak-ass pussies. Like, look at them. They're not that strong.
Their calves are sucky. Calves Jeffrey be so
Dahmer
weak.
With those fucking glasses.
Ted Bundy, he pretended to have a broken arm so bitches would feel bad for him. It wasn't like he was grabbing bitches. Arm, right. It wasn't like he was... Like, it wasn't like he was, you know what I mean? Like, Bubba. Like, he was he was pretending to be hurt. And that's how he was able to trick women into helping him. It wasn't because he was handsome. It wasn't because he was so smart and strong. It was, he was pretending to be weak.
Right, right. That's what they did in, that's where they got it for Silence of the Lambs, right? He's like, oh, I'm trying to put this furniture in the closet.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah, probably.
I'm sorry. That probably. Fucking voice he has.
No, you did. You did to kind of sound like him. Kind of scare me. It kind of scammed me. It kind of scammed me. So, have you guys ever heard of the phrase, people fear what they desire?
Yeah.
I feel like, one, like Marie said, true crime girls need to learn how to fight if you're so fucking afraid. Mm-hmm. But two, y'all need therapy for real, because I feel like some of y'all want this to happen to you. Like, you want to be a true crime episode yourselves. And like, and I hope this isn't mistaken as like potential victim blaming or anything like that. There are no victims, right? Like, nothing has happened, right? You know what I mean? But like, I just know someone's gonna get mad about it, but I feel like, why do you obsess? I know I watch horror movies, and let me tell you, when my boyfriend and I went to Sedona and we were in a hot tub and we were kissy, right? I will say, because we were in the woods, and I will say, we would kiss, let me be a smooch, and I would look around. Make sure we was good.
You'd be like, this is a prime serial killer moment. You're like, someone's looking at us through the bushes.
Right
at this moment. Like,
right.
You're right. Every 10 minutes.
You know, I was in a new tier.
Yeah, because you're a horror filmmaker. That's why. Like, you were like, this is the perfect scene for me to get murdered.
This is the perfect way I'd kill two people.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm like me and Jacob would smooch. And I'd be like, what? And I'd be like,
yo,
because yeah, so I will say, I get that when you consume too much of that media, you know what I'm saying, but as in, I'm always ready, you know what I mean?
can fight,
and my man is big, so you know, they we can both fight, you know what I'm saying? But that's being prepared. And also, I'm from the Bronx, and I grew up in fucking Orange County, in the brown parts, not in the Lauren Conrad parts. Okay, so it's just like, I'm good. I'm straight. What about you? So y'all need to go to therapy and examine why the true crime obsession. Why are you obsessed with other people's bad news?
You know what? Okay, like when you were like, you know, why do they want to get murdered, right? Honestly, it kind of harkens to, I don't know if your moms ever said this, but I feel like a lot of moms say this, especially white moms on TV are like, well, you'll miss me when I'm dead. You'll realize how fucking great I was when I die. And I think that's part of it too, especially because all these true crime documentaries, they're waiting for the reel of when people are like, wow, she was such a nice lady and she never deserved to get murdered. I wish I had told her I loved her.
Come on, Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, why did I do Jennifer Coolidge for that? She's on a hot dog. Oh my God. I want to get murdered real bad. Like,
Case to murder me.
But exactly. Like, I want to get murdered real bad and then have a tribute that everybody loves. Like,
that. Bitch, you give a good Jennifer Coolidge for real.
Yeah. Thank you. Makes me think of it's like not so much about why do you want to get murdered, like, but this is the thing that's sticking out for me. True crime girlies are the same girlies that victim blame other women when violence from men happens, like especially interpersonal violence. How are you so obsessed with getting Jeffrey Dahmered, but you are also denying the possibility that women are being harmed by men in droves?
And
is it because
people.
He's not a serial killer?
Jeffrey Dahmer killed gay
and
men.
And queer people, right. Yeah. Like, how are you in such denial about the possibility that men are violent, but you also love Jeffrey Dahmer? Help me understand. Like, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking of the demographic of women that have 900 locks on their door. There are also the women that are online that are like, Stanley Cup, I was at Target at 4 in the morning. Like, I don't...
Why do Black Lives Matter? Why do they matter so bad?
All lives matter. Yeah. Like, y'all are the same people. You're consuming so much true crime content where it is justifying within you that you need to protect yourself from having these, like, industrial-sized locks on your door. But you don't believe that Ro got hit in the face by a man.
Mm-hmm.
Make that okay. make sense to me.
Fred, can you...
We're already at an hour,
I don't care. No. I want you to explain who you're talking about. Because
So the long and short, they call her the Brick Lady. Ro was assaulted by a man in the streets. People watched and did nothing. Her face on the, what I can only assume was the right side of her face, had like 4 to 6 inches of growth from just swelling on the right side of her face. Yep. And she's like, y'all just watched me get assaulted and you did nothing. And it turned into this discourse about how she deserved it. They started pulling up old videos, like a skit specifically where she like slaps a man. It's not at all, it doesn't look forceful or violent. It's a skit that she's doing. Everyone is consensual.
Obviously a skit.
It's obviously a skit. It's totally consensual between all parties involved, including the person who gets slapped. And so it turned into this, she's lying. Well, recently, like in the last like 4 weeks, she was brought up on charges of defrauding the like people out of money on GoFundMe because they were saying she didn't get hit in the face with a brick. She got hit in the face with a water bottle, which is like, you didn't say that she didn't get hit. You're just saying the object that she got hit with. The most minute part of it is what she got hit with, but y'all are saying that's enough for her to be defrauded. So she has a lawyer up to defend it. And people were like, I can't believe she went on vacation, which is like, are people not allowed to go on vacation? Like we're navigating like shrinkflation right now, but are people not allowed to go on vacation? She was assaulted. It was a public thing.
And that doesn't mean that she used that money. That doesn't mean that she used that money for vacation.
But it also doesn't mean that like she didn't get hit. Someone going on vacation doesn't mean that she didn't get hit. We saw that what that looked like.
Because
it looked very terrible.
Mm-hmm. Marie, did you see that video?
I did not see the video. I heard about it, but I didn't want to see it.
That bitch is... I don't give a fuck who or what it was. That bitch was hit, and that's all that mattered.
She was
hit in the fucking face.
And she was hit in the face, like, where her brain is.
Bad.
So for me, I'm like, and this is a part of, like, Black women are not allowed to be victims. Like, you know, they want perfect victims when it comes to Black women. Like, Breonna Taylor wasn't even allowed to be a victim. And so Sandra Bland wasn't allowed to be a victim, you know? And so they have this, like, thing in their minds where, oh, it wasn't a brick, it was a water bottle, so blah, blah. As a person who in seventh grade hit a boy with a water bottle and he left the district because he didn't want to fuck with me, I'm telling you, a water bottle can do damage, okay? At 12 years old, I was very aware of that. So I'm saying, like, this is where her brain is. You want her to have all of the recollection of what she got hit with? As a person who has gotten hit in the head herself, I don't even remember what exactly hit me in the head, but I remember my brain shaking in my skull. And so with the amount of swelling that she experienced, her whole face was swollen, but especially on the right side where her ear is. I'm talking about inner ear. People get vertigo from having their inner ear
deafened. Everything.
Anything could have happened. She could have had brain damage. She could have gone, like you said, she could have gone blind. She could have lost memory. Like, it could have destroyed her frontal lobe. Anything could have happened. She could have died. She could have died. Like, I'm just saying, like, so anyway, I say all of this to say, there's very people who are online, especially women who are online being like, that didn't happen to her. The very women who are like, Beyonce is not that talented. They're the same ones who want to be seen as victims. They want to be marginalized so bad. And so when I see like the true crime girlies and they're turning it into like media, it just makes me think of the ways in which white women are not, like, especially heterosexual white women, you know, they do not see themselves marginalized enough, but they feel something happening from patriarchy that they won't acknowledge. And so they want to validate that sense of injustice. Yes. And they go, true crime. I'm the perfect victim. I was just walking through the park with my Stanley Cup and I have no idea what happened. Like, they want that so bad. Just like Marie said, like, they want the, she was such a sweet little girl. We have no idea what happened to her. When there are real white women being violated out here in these streets. For real.
Right.
And there's also white women violating. You know what I mean? Like, fucking killing. Like, you guys remember that roommate situation, these two girls in a dorm, and there's a white girl and a black girl, and the white girl was slowly trying to kill the black girl.
She was poisoning her.
Yes, by stuffing, used tampons in her shit.
Oh my God.
That's the only one that really stuck out to me. That's but, like, insane. she was, like, leaving spoiled food, like, just really doing nasty shit that, like... Yeah. You know, in close proximity to somebody that can make them really sick. Yeah. And, you know, she's not the first one, right? And, you know, from time and time again, like, white people are, like, inflicting harm onto black and brown people. Yeah. Because they're scared because of this, because of that, and lying about it, right? And, I don't know, I just feel like, as much as I like Snap sometimes, it makes me feel like, you got away with this, not because you're a maniacal genius, is because you're fucking white, dude. No one's in your business. Yeah. No one is in your business. So no one's asking you anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm a white lady. And it's like, oh, sorry. And then they're going to go to one of us.
Yeah. And fucking it's the infantilization, be like, you killed this
man,
didn't women. You?
A man I don't know?
Hello.
What'd you say?
I said it's the infantilization of white women. Like, white women get treated like little babies.
Victim and aggressor.
Yeah, they never get to be the perfect, like, aggressor, even though they are always being aggressive. My first bullies, my most harmful experiences in school were done by white girls. Every time.
Right. More than white men. Every time. To be honest.
Every time. Yeah. Like, whether it was lying about something, pretending to be scared about something, just being manipulative. A white woman participated in getting me incarcerated because she lied and said I tried to kidnap somebody that I absolutely did not do. And the way that we can even verify that she did not know who I was the same night in question, she was offering me candy because we were strangers. We had no idea who each other were. And so she's offering me candy as a part of, like, hey, welcome to the building type thing. But however many weeks later was like, oh yeah, that night I saw her tried to kidnap somebody. But it's like, that didn't happen. Neither of us knew who we were. But, like, that was a white girl who was willing to lie and participated in me going to jail. Like, and was okay with it. And so it's just stuff like that. Like, when we think of the ways in which, like, women, white women especially, can perpetuate violence in the community, it's things like romanticizing true crime in a way where you're the victim because it diverts from the attention of actual victims of crime, which are a lot of times not white people. And even if they are, you're diverting attention from white people who are being violated because of this infantilization that you all receive and the romanticizing of violence. You're taking away from real violence because you want perfect victims. White women are not rallying for white women who are violated. They just ain't.
They're white women
who get violated by their...
What happened to Amber Heard?
Hello? They're like, Johnny Depp, you're never
all the women
take
that were
Johnny Depp away from me.
It's like all the women that love true crime absolutely shit on Amber Heard and were upset that she wasn't a perfect enough victim.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, none of them could ever be that. No one could ever be the perfect victim because they love Johnny Depp too much. That's so
straight
sad.
Up.
Also, like, look at him.
Straight
He's so
up.
Fucking ugly now.
Terrible. Like, give me Edward Scissorhands and just leave me alone. Like, truly.
I can't even watch, like, things with him anymore. Sorry. I totally.
No, you're fine.
You just got me thinking about Amber Heard and how bad I feel
for
her. And I don't want
to.
Like,
this is a blonde-haired white woman. That blew my mind. I'm like, y'all going hard for your own
girl, that's your yeah. people. That's your people. Like, I can't rock with it. It's too obvious to me that you want to be a victim. You got 900 locks. You having 900 locks is your way to justify being the perfect victim. Because obviously the only person who can kill you is a tactical mastermind. But in actuality, they're getting picked up at bars and getting killed in Ubers. Like,
yep.
They're getting killed on their way to work. They're getting killed at work. They're getting killed in relationships. They're getting killed at the post office.
Your government is killing you.
Yo. Yo.
Like, if we're keeping it a bean.
Come on now.
So.
Hey.
So.
Another bit of wisdom. White women, start watching Thelma and Louise again. Like, everybody just watch Thelma and Louise one more time. Okay? If you haven't seen it yet.
Please.
And remember. Like, I'm upset that Thelma wore a Confederate flag in the film. I did not enjoy that part. That's literally the only thing I don't like about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, watch that fucking movie. Jesus Christ. Right. Feminism.
Right.
White feminism at its finest is Thelma and Louise.
Feminism. So
right below that is Golden Girls.
So, period.
Period.
Period. Just to cleanse the palate. So Marie and I gave some advice to true crime girlies. Jocelyn, do you have advice for Miss Blanchard?
Oh, for Miss Blanchard.
And the true crime girlies. Whichever is speaking to your heart.
My advice, I'm going to have advice for both because my advice for the true crime girlies is short. Stop watching that shit. Y'all know what the fuck you watching. Your brains ain't strong enough for that. You don't know what the fuck you doing.
It all
just
ends
stop
the
it.
Same. They die. Yeah,
they die. They die. Stop watching that shit. You don't know what the fuck is going on, and you're riding your brain worse than anything. Just stop watching that shit. For Miss Blanchard, mm-hmm. Baby G, G Rose, Rose Bland, girl. Off top, if you gonna stick with that man, stick with that man. Like, let it be what it is. I hope that you acknowledge that the same way that you are your own person, so is he. So there will be times y'all will not get along. And that doesn't mean that he is attempting to inflict violence, but that doesn't not mean that he's not trying to inflict violence. So until you can know the difference, my biggest suggestion is go talk to somebody. Go lay on somebody's couch and get all this stuff out of your brain and out of your body. Get into some good EMDR therapy. Get into EMDR therapy and rewire the workings of your body and get a lot of that stuff that Dee Dee did to you out of you. Because she did something to you. You didn't deserve it. And it definitely is impacting the way you navigate the world today. 6 to 8 years in prison, 8 to 10 years in prison does not delete that. It's in you. Like Gatorade. So that's my suggestion. Go sit on somebody's couch. And if you're going to stay with that man, like, just acknowledge that the goal is to be two independent people sharing space with one another, not to become so intertwined that you don't allow him to be a person and he don't allow you to be a person and y'all don't allow yourselves to be people. So do the work. And I really hope that all of your money is not coming from being memeified or being a celebrity. I pray that there is some kind of victim of crime or redemption fund that exists for you somewhere that can hold you down financially for a little bit. Go to school. When you get done with therapy, go to school. Maybe you might want to go to school. Go learn something.
Write your book.
She could be a great, write your book. You could be a great public speaker for other, cycles of trauma that are happening in people's families because you might be the most popular, but you're not the only one. There's a reason why it's called, that has a name. Munchausen's by proxy is called something because it's happening to people. So you could be a great voice for parents who think they about to exploit their kids. If you want to live, you might want to leave that baby alone. Okay. Stay out of chat rooms and off of message boards, babe. All right. And off of dating apps. Okay. That's my advice. True crime girlies, go to bed.
And there you have
everybody
it.
Everybody else, you got this.
Go to bed. Go to bed.
Go to bed. Go to bed.
Yeah.
She's talking to us. Well, absolutely. Have it, folks. Thanks for That's all for now, Liblings. Thank you for tuning in. You can write us at VivaLaPalmaProductions@gmail.com. Leave us nice comments or questions or maybe a little spicy feedback. But don't be mean. Be nice, okay? Find us on socials at Cool Aunties Pod. Our personal usernames will be in the show notes. And we'll see you next time.